Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The last time I was here, 2 weeks ago, we had just celebrated Thanksgiving. And we spent the day talking about being thankful to be delivered in difficulties. Now, difficulties come in all shapes and sizes, right? And they're different and unique to each one of us. In Psalm 18 that we had read that day, David knew that God was his strength. In fact, David wrote, God is my strength, my rock, my fortress, deliverer, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. He knew that God heard him when he cried out to him. And he knew that God was worthy of praise for his deliverance. That same Sunday, we also talked about the story, shared the story of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, right? They'd been stripped and beaten and imprisoned unjustly. But they praised God in their circumstances, and he delivered them. And we know that God delivers us not only out of our difficulties, but while we are in them. God is a deliverer. He watches over us. He takes us through any sort of persecution, difficulties, helping us along the way, you know, and ultimately saving us. And this week, I wanted to continue on thinking about that for a moment, because this week we are focused on the peace that God gives us. Peace is a learned response, right, as we go through difficulties. I mean, my first, especially the unexpected and the minor, those situations, those circumstances can take me from 0 to 60 on the anger and stupidly emotionally explosive outburst, just like that. It's like, really? I mean, my son-in-law was riding with me when I came upon stop traffic on Highway 41, and he kind of looked at me like, really? All that just because cars are stopped? Yes, all that just because cars are stopped and I'm in a car. And when I'm in a car, I want to go. And the whole goal of getting in a car is to go. Nobody gets in a car to stop, right? Oh, man. So, yeah, it's not even close to my outburst, but, you know, you get the idea, right? And that's Jesus came to help us focus on the things that really matter. And to give us a peace, even in the midst of those stupidly small things that really set us off, so that I don't need to be that way. Jesus offers us his peace as his followers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we just come to you this Sunday morning and we thank you. There are too many things for us to enumerate all the things we should thank you for, Lord. And so we just praise your name and point to you and say, he is the God who loves you. And that you is each and every person in this world, Lord. You love them. And that's why your son came. So that if each and every person turns to you, you are their Lord and their Savior. And so, Lord, for this truth, for this knowledge, we praise and thank you. And we ask you to lead our study here this morning. Amen. So today I want to talk about the coming Messiah, because actually, you know, that first week of Advent, which was 2 weeks ago, you know, we focused on the thankfulness of difficulties. And then last week, I wasn't able to join you all. So suddenly here, we are on the third week of Advent, you know, and which is why we have three of these four candles. You'll have to imagine that's a wreath. Three of these four candles lit this morning because we are coming up to that celebration of Jesus' birth. And as we read in Isaiah, one of the descriptors, one of the four descriptors that Isaiah used for Jesus was the Prince of Peace. You know this verse, Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Again, Isaiah introduces Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace. And this peace is not a fleeting peace, you know? It's a perfect and enduring peace for us who trust Jesus Christ. And we know that it's not fleeting because, especially as we mature in our faith, because we learn, as we discussed, difficulties never cease in our life, right? Whether they're the small difficulty of stopped traffic on the interstate or the huge difficulty of a loved one passing, right? And turning life upside down, difficulties do not cease in our life. That many of them are not life-ending. Many of them may be inconsequential, but some of them, certainly some of them, are life-altering. But as we grow in our faith, as we grow in our Lord and put our trust in Him, we know that we will come through to the other side. Boy, it feels like 100 years ago now. It was the mid-90s. I received a card that said that was a hand drawing of a called Screaming Man Under Train. And the guy had an exaggerated head and mouth, but the train is going over him, and the card said, "This too shall pass," right? And I copied that, and I would send that to people for encouragement because, yes, this too shall pass, right? We know that. But as we walk through these difficulties, we can be screaming out, can't we? Waiting for these things to pass, crying out to God. But as we mature in our faith, we realize that God is that gardener, right? Just like He put Adam and Eve in the gardener. And gardeners do what? They prune the plants, right? They cut away the dead, the rotting stuff, so that the plant becomes stronger and it bears more fruit. And that is just what our Lord does to us when we face difficulties and circumstances like this. Isaiah had more to say on God's peace, and in Isaiah 26:3, Isaiah wrote, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Right? When we trust in Jesus, it's like a serene lake untouched by ripples. Right? You've seen those pictures. There are some of them where the reflection in the lake is pretty good, but then you see the ones where it's almost mirror perfect, right? That is a picture of calm and tranquility, of life untouched by storms, right? And that's why we read in Mark today about the storm that Jesus calmed very early in his ministry. Because we all face winds and waves in life, don't we? That batter at our lives. As we read from Mark 4, a great windstorm arose. The waves were breaking into the boat, so it was already filling. But Jesus was asleep in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He awoke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Now, I have to stop here a moment and just say, Jesus was asleep, right? Because he knew that the Lord had something for him to do, right? So regardless of the storm that's going to come up, he's getting to the other side. He knows this is all going to work out. We don't have that insight sometimes, do we? We are in the middle of the storm, the wind's howling, and we're like, oh, Lord, please, calm this down, right? Give me that peace. But Jesus could be afraid, or could be sleeping unafraid. And so we read, "They were filled with great fear and said to each other, 'Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" Who is this? I mean, you have to kind of wonder and marvel at that question, especially here in the Advent season, right? Because we are coming up on celebrating Christmas, which is the birth of Christ. But to how many in the world is it just a day Santa comes? And when you don't believe in Santa anymore, it's just a day to ask for gifts, give gifts, you know, hope you can get together with your family. But we're coming up on the greatest gift ever given, right? Jesus into the world. And the world still asks, who is this? This morning, what storms are you facing in life, right? We're all facing some of them. Again, some of them may be small, minor traffic issues on a Saturday morning, right? But as we prayed in our prayers, there are other storms people are facing that are huge. Some have been going on for quite a while, right? Laura and Randy have been facing that storm for a long time. They come in all shapes and sizes. And you know what's worse is we have a propensity as people, even people of faith, to forget that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? If we don't have a job, we worry about that, right? If we have a job, we worry about losing it, right? Talk about old man syndrome, right? I can't lose my job. I only got so many years left. I don't want to apply for a new one, right? If we don't have money, we worry about getting it. When we have money, we hope that the economy stays great, right? If we aren't sick, we worry we could be. If we are sick, we worry we'll get well. We are masters of worry, right? And that's not what Jesus came for. Because God already knows the storm you are facing, doesn't he? I mean, we are experts at hiding our pain and our reality from other people, but we cannot hide that from God. God knows what storms we are facing in our life. And it's like he's waiting for us to call out to him, isn't he? Just like David cried out, just like the disciples cried out, Lord, help me. I need you and I need your peace. Because when we cry out to him, that's when Jesus is able to say, I'm here. I'm right here and I've been here the whole time. I've been riding in the stern of your life, just waiting for you to come down and say, Jesus, you know, join me. And it's this peace that Jesus offers, especially to us, his children, right? Because he is our Lord and his Savior, and he loves us. And so the beauty, as we mature in our faith, is to realize that his peace is always available to us. True peace. As Paul described it in Philippians 4 today, Paul wrote, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So Paul is writing, in everything, go ask God. You know, that's what a supplicant is. They go and ask, and you do so with a happy heart, even in the midst of difficulties. Let your requests be made known to God. And Paul writes, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, true peace is more than just the absence of conflict, right? The peace that God promises passes even what we can understand fully. It's to be able to just rest in him and let go of the anxiousness, right? In all the situations and the circumstances. It's a peace that we recognize as him as our provider. Right? Even in the midst of chaos. Right? And these storms in life, don't they bring chaos into our lives? Right? But even these storms that arise and bring this chaos, Jesus has said, I have an answer for you. I have a peace for you. That peace that Paul said passes all understanding, Jesus described it this way in John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you, let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Again, the world's peace is supposed to be found within you, right? Or, as the stoners would say, you know, oh man, just mellow out, right? I mean, is that why weed is such a big deal these days in our society? I mean, people are looking for peace, and they look for it in a lot of places. But they don't find true peace unless they find Jesus. You know, picture a lighthouse standing on the edge of the sea, right? The storms come, they rage, they beat on that lighthouse, and it stands firm and remains in place. That's what Jesus Christ is, a stronghold that cannot be moved. And he invites us to live within that stronghold, doesn't he? You know, this peace that Jesus promises to has a transformative power. You know, it reshapes, it's meant to reshape our thinking, our life, right? To align ourselves with God's will to be his children. Again, Paul wrote that God's peace brings renewal to ourselves. In Romans 12, he wrote, "Do not be conformed to this world," right? Don't just join in this world and get along, go along, right? "But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." The peace that Jesus offers us, the peace that he provides us, allows us to rest in God and renew our minds, to be changed, right, from the inside out, to go through each day a little differently than we did the day before as we continue to walk in God, right? Facing all of these challenges heads on. Now, you know, I say this and I sound like a self-help book, and it's like, oh, it's just this easy. Rest in God and all will be good. You know, it's not that easy, is it, right? We find trusting our Lord is not as easy as we say, but he continues to work in our lives and show us that he has us, doesn't he? And as we grow and we're not overwhelmed by these various things and we watch God work, we can experience a joy and a calm in the midst of life storms that, you know, way younger Eric would not have experienced such joy and calm in the midst of these things. Charles Spurgeon said, "The peace of God is that eternal calm which lies far too deep in the human soul to be reached by any external disturbances." I like the way he said that. God puts his peace so deep within us that the daily activities of life do not make us flounder on the water. Again, as we read in Psalm 29 this morning, the last two verses, "The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever." He's above it all. He's watching. He's got it. He's in control, right? And the last verse says, "May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace." God is inviting us to not let the daily chaos of life overwhelm us. He's inviting us to rest in him. Because life storms, again, they are inevitable, right? We all know that. But the Prince of Peace calls us to just relax. And he gives us a strength and a calm and a stability in the midst of each and every one of these difficulties, of these challenges. Thus, in Jesus, we have a peaceful response to adversity, right? Jesus not only sustains us in the trials, but he influences our responses to adversity, right? His Spirit is what can transform us into peacemakers. His Spirit is what transforms us into peace into being calm and at peace in the midst of difficulties. James wrote in James 3:17, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." Saying it another way and kind of echoing it, Paul wrote in Galatians 6, 7 and 8, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh and reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." You see, when we live in God, we can have that peace, and God's Spirit is at work within us. And we don't have to live to our and try to fulfill our base desires. We can let those things go. And that's part of some of the difficulties we face in life, right? What we draw ourselves to, what we're motivated by. And Jesus is like, just let it go and rest in me. This is the reason I came into this world, right? Because again, that wisdom from above is first pure and then peaceable. Open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits. Gentle. So God's peace transforms us. And as it transforms us, we begin to reflect the nature of God rather than the nature of ourselves, right? So when my son-in-law looks at me and is like, "Really? This is how you react?" It catches my attention and it's like, yeah, maybe there's something wrong with me and the way I am responding right now. Maybe the issue isn't the traffic. Maybe it's something inside of me, right? And God has the power to transform that. That's why Jesus came. And he offers us peace. And just like love and grace, when we offer God's peace to other people, God's peace is an unending supply. And we can offer that peace over and over and over again and give it away, just like love and grace, and it will never be all used up, right? We cannot outgive God. And so as God's children, our lives should reflect that peaceful nature of our Heavenly Father. Right? Going back to that pristine pond, you know, throw a pebble in it and watch the ripples go out. That's how God works in this world. That's how God uses us, right? To make waves, but waves of love and calm and peace that we can share with a world, with people who don't find love and peace and calm in very many places, right? If you live in this world and are a part of it, there's more striving and grasping and chasing and wanting, right? And Jesus says, that's not the whole point of this. That's not the goal. So again, we read from St. Paul in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." God not only wants us to rest in him, but he will guard us. He will keep us. He will walk with us and be with us each and every day so that we can celebrate the peace that he gives us. And we know we rest assured in him. And so may this peace transform us. May this Prince of Peace may work in our lives, right? Let's pray. Dearest Jesus, thank you for your promise of peace. Not only the promise, but the peace you give us, Lord. As you walk with us each day, as you renew our minds, Lord, we just thank and praise you for the love you've poured out into us. And help us, Lord, to reflect your love, your peace into a world that needs it so desperately. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.